email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Look at the time. Now, Alison Keaton, psychologist, is on the line. How are you doing, Alison? No.
Ray, I'm good, how are you, Ray?
You're good, yeah, there's a long delay there. Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst, is on the line. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Ray, how are you?
Okay. It's not going to matter too much because I got a handwritten letter into the office yesterday addressed to me, and I want your opinion on it. So I'll read this, have a listen to it, and tell me what you think afterwards. Okay, dear Ray, I'm sending you this. I hope to hear it read out. It would feel good to have it aired, literally. I'm living with my husband for 35 years with our now teenage children. I spend most of my time now with his words running through my head, a heaviness in my chest as if I feel I have PTSD. I don't trust him. There's no intimacy, fun, tenderness, friendship. I really liked and respected him. Now, I do love him, but do not like him. I know he's a good man, but he's not a nice man. For the last 15 years, he has brought home every work stress, worry, disappointment, fear, health concern, whether real or imagined. He has shared and revisited many, many instances in our past of negative slights, losses. I don't listen anymore because I don't want to hear the anger, rage, rant, opinion, growl. This means I miss out on some positives of our family together, but it also means I don't hear the negative. He concentrates on the negative. Fear of ill health, job loss, injustices, politics, confrontation, lazy people and disappointment, everything. I know he's under stress in his work, but it has been this way forever. He has no supports and has refused to seek out support as I've begged him to do. I don't act as his support anymore because he would just roar and rant at me and I become the problem. He has no friends, family network, no friends from college or school, despite the fact we are back living in his hometown. No close relationship and none with me anymore because he would turn on me and my family. I don't trust him now. I'm tired of his anger, so tired. I actually have no memory now of our good times together. They are overtaken now by years of shite, venom, vicious comments, vindictive things he has said without almost thinking. We haven't kissed in years, much less had sex, because how can you be close with someone who would roar at you, mutter nasty things and misremember things to reflect badly on me? He once accused me of not wanting to spend a summer with our youngest, of wanting to get rid of them. I was shocked at how he believed that. I dread when my children leave home because I do not want to grow old with them. That makes my blood run cold. There is no physical violence in our relationship. I've always thought of it as a verbal violence, and it has taken a huge toll on our marriage and relationship, destroying it, shredding it, and left a constant soundtrack in my mind and been a poor role model for our children. A good man, not a nice man. I am flat. So, Ray, I'll go to you first on that one.
First of all, Ray, I just want to really thank that listener for writing in. It is just, it's such an important letter. It's really important that she have written this and that we listen to this. Unfortunately, it isn't going to change unless you change. And so by actually writing this letter, she has taken the first step of kind of going, I deserve better. I deserve more. Your husband clearly deserves more and better, but he's not interested. He's too negative. When somebody else is drowning, we can't jump into the water with them or they'll pull us down in their own despair. She's reached for a lifeline by writing this letter. I hope she reaches forward either to a good friend or a professional, but someone that has her back, that listens to her and tells her what she deserves.
Alison?
Yeah, I agree with Ray. And just there were quite a lot of red flags. I mean, that she recognises that she feels that she has PTSD, that she recognises the pattern of behaviour whereby he misremembers things and somehow she seems to be the one in the wrong. That is very worrying and it sounds like gaslighting. You know, when you know before you've even opened your mouth how someone's going to somehow blame you, you know, obviously she's disengaged with him. And, you know, I think we undermine when she says verbal violence. I mean, when we look at, you know, domestic abuse, it isn't just physical. We can have verbal, emotional and mental abuse as well. And of course, sexual abuse. I would suggest, you know, making a phone call to Women's Aid just to have a conversation with someone, because as Ray is saying, you know, by writing in, it's the first step. It would be good to talk to somebody who has, you know, specifically listened to stories like this day in and day out. And unfortunately, with lockdown, you know, situations with domestic abuse, which is verbal as well, have skyrocketed. So I would suggest that she take the next step and make a call to Women's Aid.
Is there any possibility that this man is depressed?
Like, as Ray said, yes, but it's very important to recognise that, you know, in mental health, people can be depressed, but it doesn't mean we have to stay in destructive relationships. And I think that's really important. And specifically when she's saying, you know, all her memories, she can't remember any good, you know, memories anymore. And, you know, she loves him, but she doesn't like him. And she knows he's a good man, but he's not a nice man. And to me, that waves a big red flag, because in abusive relationships, you can still love someone and yet be stuck in a really negative state that, as Ray said, won't actually change.
Mm. Because there are symptoms there of depression, Ray, aren't there? You know, stress and depression go hand in hand sometimes.
And I think that's why I say the thing about he clearly is drowning. But this is a tragedy in which one person is drowning. It doesn't need to be two or even more, because she has a genuine concern for how this is being role modelled onto the children. Yeah. I know we grew up in an Ireland where we were told that you had to stay together in the worst of relationships and marriages for the sake of the children. But that's not true. Children need to be looked after. And sometimes the way we look after our children is by looking after ourselves. And as Alison says, even just an anonymous phone call, a confidential phone call to Women's Aid, to know that you're not alone. And nobody's going to push you to do something, but will invite you to have choices. Because as it stands, there is no choice.
Mm. Okay, and we'll get that number for people before we finish up today. And I really hope that works out. Okay, we have time for one more. Dear Ray and Alison, I'm going back to work after 15 years from being a homemaker and full-time parent to going out to restart a successful career I parked to raise my two children. My other half isn't too happy. While he accepts it's what I want to do and says he supports me, I don't believe he's being sincere and fear it's going to come between us. He works full-time as well. How can I talk to him about this to make sure he is really okay with it? Ray.
Rather than talking with him to make sure he's really okay, just talk to him to see that he's not really okay and that he has his fears and his reservations and that their pattern of life is going to change. And it's okay if he's anxious about that or worried about that or obsessive about that. Meet him where he is rather than trying to meet him to being okay with it.
It's
okay if he's not okay.
That's very good advice, isn't it? Because have that chat. I know this is going to be difficult for us. I know this is going to upset a pattern we've developed for years now. But this is what I want to do. And let's talk about how we can make it work for both of us. That sort of thing, Alison.
I totally agree with Ray. And like, you're going in solution focused, but you're also going in and it's compassion focused. And you're validating, you know, his fears that things are going to actually change. And perhaps he already feels that, you know, things are busy as they are. But that doesn't mean things shouldn't change. But a conversation needs to be opened whereby they actually explore the different fears and look to how can we meet these face on together. And to kind of, as it validate the emotions that are coming up for him and work together to kind of create new dreams and hopes together as a couple. It could possibly, you know, be very exciting for her as well, because she parked a successful relationship
career,
and it's important for her to kind of get back to that. But they can do it together by creating this new shared meaning, this new kind of shared hopes and dreams in the future of where their family life is going.
Okay. And good luck in the return to your career. Now, Ray, thanks very much. Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst.
Thank you.
Alison Keating, psychologist. Thank you. We'll talk again soon. Mind yourselves.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, bye, bye. And that number for Women's Aid, 1800 341 900. 1800 341 900. That's it from us for today. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow. 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.